Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and as usual, I want to say hello and happy Wednesday and ask you to just relax as we take a virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love. So whatever way you celebrated the evening as the trade winds drift softly across your face, we're not even thinking about the hurricane that is whipping up out there. Of course, we wouldn't be in our favorite chairs. However, we're going to pretend that we're there. You know, with technology now, they have virtual everything. So we're taking a virtual trip. As a matter of fact, every Wednesday afternoon at 8 o'clock, we take a virtual trip and settle in our favorite chair, whether it's on top of the roof, on the beach, in the bushes, under the mango tree. So as you settle in with your favorite drink, whatever that was, and for those of you listening online, you can multitask and minimize and work while you listen, and that makes it so cool. So I want to welcome everybody, and I also, if you are on my list, I apologize. I've been having a lot of technical problems because I thought I was being cool and upgraded my system. And, you know, with new technology, until they work the bugs out, you could have a little challenge. And boy, challenged I have been, severely challenged. And as most of my listeners know, you know, I'm not a young techie person. I am quite a senior trying to be techie person. So you'll have to bear with me. The promo went out late, but I hope that our guest, Mr. Desmond Green, is online and he'll raise his hands. I am going to read a little bit about, for most of you that have been listening for the past couple of weeks or read the promo, you know that we're doing a series on education, the way it was in the 40s and 50s, pre-independence, really, because they're doing a wonderful job now of making everything that happens in Jamaica not only known all over Jamaica, but to the rest of the world. And unfortunately, the senior citizens did not have that privilege when we were growing up. We used to have to listen to the radio and occasionally read the newspaper. Or when we go to the movie, we get the news of the month or the week, the BBC News. I remember that well. But now, instantly, everyone all over the world has access to everything as it happens. So with that said, I want to ask again if our guest is on the board. Please raise your hand. And also to invite the callers on the board whenever you want to interact with myself or our guest. or each other, just hit 1 on your telephone, and I will see on my little ticky screen board that you are holding up your hands as if you were in school, and I will open the mic and welcome you to the backyard. This school is being held in the backyard. So I hope you're comfortable and you're ready to hear about a very prestigious college. And I am getting a wealth of information because I didn't know about the history. I knew about some or most of these schools, but not about their history. So tonight, hopefully, we'll have our guests who graduated from Myco Teachers College, as it was called in those days, on the board to talk with you. But I got a lot of enlightening as I did the research for this particular college because it has quite a history. And I'll start by what I collected from online. And most of my listeners know that all the information we need is online. A lot of people just don't have time to research it or don't even like to read it. So since that's my passion now, I will read it for you. But remember that sometimes I don't make the words out so well, so you need to go check it out online for yourself too. So if you just Google Myco or the history of Myco, you get a wealth of information. So I'll tell you a little bit about it if you're not familiar with it. But if you're a Kingstonian or even a Jamaican in our time, I think just all of our teachers and a lot of famous people came out of Myco. But beginning in 1834, four teacher training institutions and hundreds of elementary schools were established in most of all the British colonies. I didn't even know it went back so far. And in particular, this Myco, actually, the arrangements for that was made before that. But in 1834, they established only four teaching institutions to train teachers, and one of them happened to be in Jamaica. Now, this followed the successful efforts of Sir Thomas Fowell Buxton to direct the resources of a charity to the education of children of ex-slaves in these British colonies, the West Indies and some other places, where slavery was in the process of being abolished. In an era where denominational education was the norm, the defining feature of the Myco institutions was that they were of Christian influence but non-denominational. And I really didn't realize that because, this is a sidebar, of course, most of the people, especially in Kingston or perhaps all over Jamaica, know that most of the high schools in my days, most of them were connected to a religious institution or were started by the Methodists, the Catholics, you know, the Anglicans, whoever. But this particular training college, not only was it established there, but in other colonies, it was Christian-based, but non-denominational. So, you know, the Catholics or the Protestants or whoever didn't claim it or support it. Well, when I say support, I mean financially. Now, it says here, except in St. Lucia, most Myco elementary schools did not survive the discontinuation of the Negro Education Grant in 1846, which was provided by the British Parliament. And that ended in 1846. Those that survived, they're talking about the schools, were overtaken by the twin force of denominational education and the entry of the government of colonies into providing elementary education. The elementary school in St. Lucia survived the longest until 1890. So what I'm understanding, like this way before our time, there was this special grant that was made for teaching. It was an elementary school at first, it seems. But it seems to have been the only non-denominational one. And it was supported by this special Negro fund, Negro educational grant, that came into play in 1846. Now, the only teacher training, institution to survive into the 20th century, and that remains until today, is the university, the Michael University College in Kingston. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the oldest teaching colleges in the world. It is certainly the oldest in the Western Hemisphere and one of the oldest in the world. That's something I did not know. So, and again, I don't know if my speaker, Mr. Desmond Green, is online, but if you are online, please hit one on your phone so I can open up the mic and welcome you to talk about your time at MICO. So I hope you are there. I'm just waiting to raise your hands. So now let me get back to my notes. So we are learning now that a lot of these, they were all called MICO, I suppose. It had something to do with the grant and the fund. But this Buxton person was responsible for what happened then. And I remember that there was a school, as a matter of fact, one of my past guests, Mr. Ken Jones, reminded me that there was a Buxton High School in Kingston. I don't know if any of the callers are familiar with that, but once he said it, then I remember hearing about it. So the name, whoever, I don't know whether that was started in memory of this person, because he certainly wasn't alive when I was growing up, but or it could be one of his descendants that started the school. So it would be interesting to find out some history about that. Mr. Jones, who I hope will be a guest again talking about his school days, also mentioned to me that there were several of those types of schools. It's all over Kingston and perhaps all over Jamaica, and that there's no really formal documentation of their existence, you know, when they started, when they closed, how many students graduated from them. Somehow there is not any place you can go find that. So I think that a couple of people might be trying to put that together. So one of the things I'd like to mention to our listeners, those are on the board or those who might come by later, that if they have information of one of these not so famous like St. George's or KC, which were the ones that really are still in existence now, but some of these that went by the wayside, if you have information on them, knew someone who graduated from one of them, or, you know, have someone told you information that is authentic about it that you would like to share, do let me know, because I think Mr. Jones is trying to put some things together. So whenever it comes to history that is not yet recorded, I think we have a responsibility, because we have this cool technology where we can put people together. People are finding people that they haven't spoken to or heard of for a long time. So, you know, we're really quite fortunate and blessed to be living in this era, considering where we're coming from, when the only communication we had for us old-timers at first was ZQI till it became RJR. And now they have several radio stations broadcasting simultaneously in Jamaica. So we have really come a long way. Now I'm getting a little concerned because I haven't heard from Mr.
Desmond Green yet.
He has not been on the board, I don't think. So hopefully he'll come by later because he's our guest for tonight who will be, he went to MICA for a period. I'm not sure if he had all his education there or he was transferred from somewhere else, but he agreed to talk to us about his experiences at MICA. Mr. Green lives in Connecticut. I don't see his number up on the board, so I'm hoping he has not forgotten. And because of that, I'm going to be asking our callers on the board to sort of pipe in and let me know if there are any stories about their school days that they would like to share with the listeners on the board and those who may come by later. Because Blog Talk Radio is a very popular format and almost like Google, if people want something that is audio to listen to, Blog Talk Radio is where they go to find it. So whatever we share on the air on a Wednesday evening is very important in terms of helping to preserve the culture and helping to have the generation now and those to come after us have a little experience about what our experience was when we were growing up on the island. Because just like the rest of the world, Jamaica has changed and it will continue to change just like the rest of the world. And there are several historians now that I use their material online quite often. And some of them, like Dr. Joy Lumsden, are still trying to piece information together to cover a period that was not documented. And I really, on looking on all the material online, there's really not any structured information about how people born in the 30s and perhaps 20s, you know, what life was like for them as they lived in various parts of the island. And I know for sure, and I'm even coming into the realization more now, that perhaps what we were doing in Kingston at a particular time, whether it's a holiday or a Sunday, the people in St. Elizabeth or St. Thomas in the old days might have been doing something totally different. So, you know, although we are out of many one people, and most of our culture, you know, we do similar things, but there's still unique things about different sections of the island that I think is just wonderful to share. Because you can think that if people, children, or those to come growing up in that particular part of the island that you grew up in or you visited or had family, life might be totally different in the next 50 years. And having some of that information online recorded might be very interesting to the next generation. So I consider what we do here as leaving a living legacy. So I hope that you will share that passion with me and feel free to talk about your experience, especially if it was a positive one. Because I try to, you know, in all periods of life, there are positive things happening and negative things happening. And I think that we can learn from both. But even in negative situations, there have been positive things about it. So I like to, to really talk or draw something from especially the positive parts of the past. So when we can share something and that we're passionate about, I think it's very important to do that using this platform or a platform that you might want to consider. It cannot easily be destroyed because, you know, writing information down has always been the norm before this kind of technology. But with all the natural disasters that I, for one, have gone through, I know that kind of
way to store information is quite fragile. And you can have it today and poof, it's gone tomorrow. But with technology like we have now, you know, the chances that are that what we have in the cloud will be there forever or for a very long period. So with that said, I wonder if is Mr. Desmond Green on the board? Okay. Well, let me ask, is there anyone else that might have gone to Michael or know someone who has that would like to share some experience? And right now, it doesn't have to be Mac. I'm going to give you some more history on the Michael Training College, but it seems like my guest has not really made it to the backyard yet, so we'll have to wait for him a little longer. So I see 718565. Would you like to chime in on the Labrish? No, I thought I saw a raised hand from that. I have 914-665-516-429. Quite a few calls on the board. I know that everybody likes to listen, but remember that, you know, Margaret does not want to do all of the talking. So you need to participate because that's what a Labrish is all about. So until you get warmed up, you're perhaps sipping on your rum and coke or whatever. But until you get, I like to drink coconut water, so I'll pretend that I'm doing that. Until you get warmed up with your drink, I'm going to give you some more information because I read online that the first Jamaican-born Governor General was Sir Clifford Campbell, was a graduate of MICO. I think he graduated in 1915. He started in 1912 and graduated in 1915. And there are lots of quite well-known leaders and politicians, and I'm sure hundreds of teachers that have taught even us and generations after us that graduated from MICO. So it really is something to celebrate that happened to be one of the schools that were started so long ago that has not only survived, but it has evolved because it's now a full-fledged university with all the credentials. So it really tells you how when a seed is planted in good soil, and there are people that will water it and help it grow, it can blossom and really, really benefit not only the person who originally had the idea or the passion, but millions of people. Because, you know, I'm sure that almost all the people of my generation and perhaps my mother's generation, if MICO Training College was the first school to teach teachers, although a lot of the schools had foreign teachers, but all of the Jamaican-trained teachers had to have come out of between MICO and Shortwood. But I think it was called Shortwood Teachers College, and I'm hoping to interview a graduate from that college too. But we know that MICO was the first one. So I think, you know, it tells a lot about having a seed planted that has support. And I always like to encourage my listeners, both young and old, matured, the old word we don't like to use, that it's never too late. And if you're passionate about something, an idea, a cause, whatever, you know, even though it might seem hard and you're the only person who perhaps is out there waving the flag about it, you never know how it can blossom and bless a lot of people. Because when I think as I mentioned, of all the great people who came out of, and, you know, people who are teachers, they're really contributing a lot to humanity, regardless of where they're teaching. If they're doing it from their heart, you know, we know that a lot, some people get involved in a career and their heart is not really in it. But the people who really do it from the heart, and especially teachers, they are the holders of the future, because they teach the future generation so that things can be continued, you know. And a lot of times there are so many past students, I've spoken to someone who I hope will be on show sometimes, several of them, that can remember being inspired or influenced by one of their teachers at various times of their growth, whether it's a elementary teacher or a nursery school teacher, if we can go back that far, or, you know, someone at the college level. But teachers play a very important part to mankind. So to me, I am quite excited and honored to be from a country that now can testify that we have the oldest teaching institution in the Western world, and we are among the oldest in the world, and that would be about Michael. So let me tell you a little bit about it. I think I told you it was founded originally in 1835 as a co-educational institution training British volunteers to teach in Jamaican schools. After the secession of the Negro Education Grant, when it was determined that it was more economical to train native teachers, the Michael transformed itself into a single-sex male institution training elementary native school teachers. In the 1950s, it became co-educational again and remained so. When the government of Jamaica expanded secondary education in the 1960s, the junior secondary schools were introduced. The Michael included, apparently it's called the Michael, included in its portfolio the training of teachers for the junior secondary schools. By the end of the 1970s, the Michael Future expanded its training of teachers for secondary schools to cover the entire range of secondary education. By then, it had become the institution which was training the largest number of secondary school teachers in the country. The sole survivor of over 300 normal schools established in the Caribbean during the post-emancipation era, Micah has given sterling service in education for over 170 years. Micah holds the record of being the oldest teacher training institution in the Western Hemisphere. So that's a little more history about the school. I don't know where my guest disappeared to tonight, but apparently he must have forgot or something might have come up. I hope that everything is all right, but I want to just mention that I don't know, he lives in Connecticut, and I know they got a little shook up with the earthquake. And if any of the callers on the board would like to share with us anything about their school experience, or if they would like to chime in on what some sort of current event that happened in Jamaica while they were there, or similar. I remember, it's strange because just this past weekend, most of my callers know I have three grandsons, the apples of my eye, and my youngest grandson. We were watching America's Funniest Video, and for some strange reason, somebody had taken a video of an earthquake. You know, the scene was two kids seated at a table, and it's in the house, and it's the house started to shake, and somebody, must have been their mom, just came and grabbed one by their hand and grabbed the other one by their foot and hauled them off someplace, and the place was really shaking. I didn't really think it was funny, but the kids were watching it, and my youngest said, "Nana, what is that?" So I explained to him it was an earthquake, and he was really intrigued with it because he had never seen or heard of an earthquake before. He's only five. So he wanted me to go in detail, and I don't know if any of the callers on the board remember this, but I remember when I was a young child, we used to have a lot of tremors in Jamaica. We didn't have any big earthquake where buildings fell down, but I remember you'd be in school or in somebody's house, and all of a sudden the china cabinet is where, you know, you would hear the glass tinkling and things are knocking together and you're rocking. And I was really, really scared of that. But it was never really severe. And I remembered it in school, too. Not when I was grown, but I remember times when I was young because it really, really scared me. We would have these little tremors. I don't know if anybody else on the board remembered it. But it's ironic, I thought, that I was just discussing it with my grandson, and he asked me if it was going to hit where we live, which is in Georgia. And I said, "No, darling, it has never, I never felt any here. You know, I'm sure it won't." And sure enough, I understand from my daughter-in-law that some people claim they felt it. Well, I don't remember what I was doing, but I don't remember feeling it. I saw it. This is how cool this technology is. I was online at the time, and instantly there was information about it. I mean, I think even before the news recorded it, there were people texting and there were pictures, and instantly there was information. That's what I'm talking about. You know, the minute something happens here, the whole world knows about it in a nanosecond. So, but I don't know if any of my callers were involved with it and got a little nervous or whatever, but it was quite interesting that it was at places that it was sort of more or less unexpected. And so we never know what is going to happen and when it's going to happen. So it seems like it's going to be a very short show tonight because I really did not prepare a lot of information on Michael because I like to have my guests to really, you know, express themselves and tell about what was important to them during the period they're discussing. So with that said, I think I am going to end the show early tonight unless I have a caller, a volunteer, to help fill the gap. And I would ask if anyone is calling in from Connecticut. I do not have, I cannot, let me see, I might be able to go call him, put you on music while I call him. I see a raised hand, so I'm going to open the mic to 914-665. Good evening and welcome to the backyard.
Yes, good evening. My name is Carl McDonald. I just wanted to let you know I've looked at your website.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was very interesting, very informative.
Thank you.
And I plan to meet with you another time when I'm prepared to participate at a greater extent.
What I can
tell you is that I attended the elementary school, Michael Practicing School.
Really?
Yes. The elementary school was located right on the same property. And all the teachers that taught us came from the training college. And you are correct, there's also Shortwood Training College. And I'm just going to fill in just a few minutes. You mentioned earthquakes. We have had some very dramatic earthquakes in Jamaica. Very, very dramatic earthquakes. I've seen the roots of large trees pulled up out of the ground. And I know of some cases where the earth opened up, swallowed a person temporarily and threw them back out, opened up again.
Really?
Oh, yes, in Kingston. And this was in Kingston.
Well, I did a show on the, I think it's the 1907, 1902 earthquake. Yeah, that is documented.
Yes, and there were some big fires, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. There's a show in the archives about that. When I think it's on Pieces of the Past,
yes.
And I think Dr. Joy Lumsden, who's a historian, did some information on that too. But I think that came from Dr. Tortello's information on Pieces of the Past. But it's very detailed information about, there were two different earthquakes. One was in where the pirates were. I forgot the name of it now.
There was St. Thomas.
Yes. But I don't know how documented that is.
Yeah.
During our time, we did. I don't remember. Did we have any? I was born in the 30s. So I don't remember any big earthquakes. I remember little ones.
Yeah, well it wasn't anything that devastated the city, but there was extensive damage to homes. Compared to what happened in California, it's not, you know, it's really nothing much.
Right, but you know, what happened in Kingston, Kingston was totally destroyed in that big hurricane.
Yes.
I mean that big earthquake.
Yes.
And then after that, the fire. And there's some interesting stories that came out of it, because I remember one of the stories being, you know how now when there's a natural disaster, sometimes people have a problem with their insurance company and their claims.
Right, right.
Do you know if it's been happening from that time? Because I did a story where I think he was the first black barrister at law. You know, the English have a different system, as you know.
Yeah.
That argued the cases for these Kingston...
the claimants from Kingston.
Yes. For the earthquake, because the insurance companies that I suppose were in England didn't want to pay because it wasn't what, you know, they had certain stipulations. And he had to argue the cases for these people to get paid for their property, their losses. It was quite interesting.
Yeah,
but they had to go to court. Some of them had to go to court.
Well, of course, it's a tradition with the insurance companies. They like to collect money. They don't like to pay out.
Right,
anywhere
right.
in the world, for that matter.
Right. My point was that goes back for centuries. You know,
way back.
They haven't changed.
No, they haven't.
In other words, they really haven't changed.
And just
would you give me your name again, sir?
Just a brief biography. My name is Carl, C-A-R-L, McDonald.
Well, nice meeting you. I'm Margaret.
Pleasure meeting you. I love that picture. You look wonderful in that photograph on the website.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm a photojournalist and a graphic artist who has covered the news extensively for the Gleaner, the Star, the Public Opinion, Spotlight Sports, and... I also represented Jamaica at the games, in the Pan American Games in Caracas.
Oh, wow.
And the Summer Olympics in Mexico and Montreal.
Ah.
And also, I tried to return home in 1974.
Uh-huh.
And I got involved with the Daily News.
Ah.
And I don't know if you were down there at that time, but I had a column called The Last Word, where the babies were commenting on the news. And so on and so on. But there's a lot of my work. I've done work for publications in Western Canada, in Edmonton, and here in New York. I, you know, they have done stories on some of the things I've done over the world in the New York Times and so on.
Oh, great.
But
great.
What I would like to do is, right now I'm not really, all the facts, even about my own biography, is not really put together to give you an interesting narrative. So what I'd like to do is arrange for another time when you have
okay.
an open slot
uh-huh.
that we can go into it some more.
Oh, great.
But,
well,
but
would
this
you
is
do
wonderful.
Me a favor and
I just mail
from my, so I can add you to my list. Did you get a promo from me? How did you know about the show?
A cousin of mine told me about, he says, Carly, got to listen to this program. And by the way, when I went on, I went into your archives because I happen to know Ken Jones very
well.
Very,
uh-huh.
very well. And I played back that program where you had that interview.
Oh, with him?
With Ken Jones, yeah.
Oh, I see, yes. Yes, there, as a matter of fact, if you just scan through it, there are some interesting shows that I've done. You know, it's almost 3 years now that I'm broadcasting once a week on a Wednesday.
Yes.
And I try to, what I'm trying to do, as I mentioned, is to, you know, have sort of an oral history from the
yes.
people who made the history.
Yes.
Because, you know, when people are piecing things together after you're gone about a period, it's
yes.
not always accurate.
That's true.
And different experiences as they grew up or interacted all over the island. Most foreigners believe that because the island is so small, you know, we're all doing the same things at the same time and everybody knows everybody.
Right.
I don't know if you've run into that.
Oh yes. Well, there's a line that they say that when you ask a Jamaican where he was born, he always says Kingston, and when you investigate, it's Trelawney or some
everybody
other part.
Wants to be born under the clock.
So I, whenever someone asks me, I jokingly say, you know, wherever Jamaican is born, I was born in Kingston. But
good,
I really was
good.
Born in Kingston, by the way.
And so was I.
Yes.
We're Kingstonians.
Yes. And finally, just one bit of information. I also was a part of the foreign press covering the independence celebrations with Princess Margaret. And there was a particular photograph which has been published all around, here and there, both in the United States and Jamaica, on the cover of a few publications down there. And I know that there is a great degree of interest. I've had people get in touch with me when they hear about me. Because they want to get some copies of it.
Oh.
With Sir Alexander Bustamante and the flag being lowered and all this kind of a thing.
Oh, great.
But
let me tell you something. I am a very techie person. Love technology. I really embrace it. I mean, I can't get enough of it. So we'll really have to talk online that I can perhaps help you with some ideas
yes.
about getting stuff together.
I'm very interested in that connection. And this cousin told me about the program, and I just said to myself, this couldn't be interesting, but I'm a very curious person. I went online anyway. And then when I played back Ken Jones's interview, I said, wow. And I really wasn't planning to be online tonight because, as I said, I really wasn't prepared with everything that I'd like to say.
Yes,
but at
sir,
least,
but I'm very grateful that you did answer my plea for some help here. I don't know if this is my guess, but I'll open up the mic. It's a 718-565. Stay online, Carl.
Okay.
Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. And Carl, who do I have?
You have got Nellie.
Hi, Nellie. Good evening. Welcome to the backyard.
Thank you. Okay, I attended MICO, also my brother's,
you
for
did.
Many years. But what I want to point out is this, that the books that we read are used at MICO practicing school, in the elementary school, they were all written by A.J. Newman, who was the head one before the Michael Cox.
Yes, yes.
I don't want anybody to forget that.
Right.
He was English.
Yes.
And then we would have to go to the college periodically for the teachers, the teachers then, to teach us. And if we weren't at school at 8 o'clock, the door would be closed. And then we would have prayers in the morning.
Yes.
We would go for lunch. When we returned from lunch, we would have prayers again.
Yes.
And before leaving school in the evening at around 2, we would have prayers again, and we would sing. In my time, it was Miss Cousins. The headmaster there at the time, I think, was Mr. Bear. And the headmistress was Mrs. Bear.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Newman attended Lyndhurst Methodist Church. That's what I remember about Mike. And a lot of famous people went to Michael.
Oh, yes, I understand that.
A lot of people. They're not coming online, but there are a lot of people who attended Michael.
Yeah.
And some of them took the third year and went on to the college. That's
all
I have.
A lot of very famous people, very famous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good night.
Well, what year did you go to Michael?
Oh, I'm 76 now, so I must have gone when I was 7 or 8. I attended first class, second, third.
Ah.
Yes. You had
and how long was that?
Day. Eh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how many years did you go to the elementary school for?
I went there from first right back until either third or fourth. And then a school opened up in our neighborhood, Rousseau Government School. So I went there, and then after that I went to Merle Grove High School.
I got you. And Carl, how about you? What period did you go there?
Yes, I went there about the same time, and I went through from, I think, first all the way up to sixth standard. And I maintained contact with, and I also went on, in my case, on to Kingston Technical School. That is not the curriculum was, of course, much more advanced, college level at the time that I was there, because we did things like quadratic equations, and we went up there, logarithms and so on, the things that they now teach at the university.
Wow.
So let me
ask you something. I'd just like to ask you both, so that the kids coming on later online, this year are going to be coming online, they're not even going to be reading books anymore. Everything is going to be touch button. But
no.
Just for the record, what was a class size like for you, Millie? How many kids would be in your class, you would think?
If I may interrupt, what I would guess that it would be maybe about 30. Wouldn't you say so?
Oh, it was a big class.
Yes. I would say about 30.
And it would be one teacher?
Well, there was one main teacher for that class, but there are certain subjects that they had other teachers.
And what was the discipline like?
Oh, very, very, very disciplined. As Nellie was saying, we had to be on time, and if you were not on time, you were punished. And also, the homework must be done, no matter.
Mm.
You couldn't say that the dog ate your homework.
No matter
what the excuses, you better. Unless your parent sends a letter
and a note,
note, and that sort of thing will let you off the hook. But if there's no such thing, the cane comes into play.
Right,
you
remember
know that
the cane well.
Yes, and there are some teachers who had that cane tapping on the desk, and it was very intimidating to me, especially.
And I think, do they have the canes anymore? I wonder if they're in the museum.
Carl,
you know, I understand
why didn't you call the number?
Call where? What's that?
718. Dial it now. 718.
Oh, she doesn't know that. She's still on. Open up. I'm going to close back.
Yeah, she doesn't know that.
About Michael.
Nelly, I'm still on. Nelly, I'm online.
718-766-4558. And then when you get that number, you dial 1. You can listen a little and dial 1 and tell them you
have. All right. You're there, Carl. I have muted her mic for a minute. I'll open it up back when she's finished. Is it giving you
the instructions? Yeah, because she's instructing me because we speak a lot on the phone.
She's
the one who told me about the program, by the way.
Oh, great.
I really would like to do a follow-up, and I have a couple of ideas of my own also, but...
I'd like to ask you I spoke with Nelly this morning, so I'll get the information from you.
Okay.
From her to communicate with you, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
So I wanted to pry your brain a little more because I think the kids may be interested. We're talking about 30 children in a class. But still, it was, a 30-child class size now is considered humongous.
Overcrowded.
Right. But in the old days, not only did you have 30 children in a class, but you didn't have a big room for the 30 children.
That's true.
Compared to the space that would be designated for that size class today.
Right.
And yet, the 30 children that were involved in that were quiet when they needed to be quiet.
A lot more disciplined.
Focused when they needed to be focused.
Yes.
So, that's what I want the young people to know, because a lot of times when things come up, children of today and young people of today may think that it is so difficult and it's so hard to concentrate and it's so hard to learn or to get it. But I want them to know that at earlier periods, like when you grew up and went to school, when we all grew up and went to school, we didn't have as many of the luxuries that they have now.
No.
Things were a lot more difficult, and even for our parents before us, it was a lot more difficult.
Oh, yes.
But the important thing is that the teacher was able to control the 30 children.
Absolutely. And there are also some...
And dial now and let her put you in, and then you can tell her about...
She's still talking.
Okay, I muted her.
No, what I was going to say is that there were times when they had so many students, they had to have classes outdoors under the trees. I don't know if you recall that.
Under the tree.
Yes.
Yes. But those were joyous times.
Wonderful.
Yeah, as I look back, I think we had the best times of our lives.
Oh, yes.
With all the changes that have come upon us all over the world, with safety and stress, we didn't know anything about stress.
No.
Stress is when you're worried if you're going to get a spanking from not only the teacher, but your mother, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It would be a double punishment.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. As a matter of fact, if you went home with a bad report, you get a second flogging, and vice versa. If there's a problem, she hands you over to the teacher, and
so on.
Oh, yes. And, I must comment on this. I did a presentation at my daughter's high school. They wanted one or two of the parents to come in to discuss running your own business as an entrepreneur. And I went in there, and I'm telling you, I stood up before the class doing my presentation, and there was this little boy sleeping on the desk, and a couple of the others were looking out the window, waving at their friends. You could tell the teacher was accustomed to that kind of disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that she was afraid to even tell him that he's got, or tell them that they cannot do that, especially with a visitor. Not because of I'm any special person, but I'm not a part of the class, the school. And
right.
I know that today the teachers are very intimidated and they're afraid. That's why some of them actually give up on teaching.
Yeah.
But this was a pleasure, Margaret. I will arrange something, and we'll get together another time.
All right.
And
well,
thanks for giving me the time. I really enjoy this.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, I look forward to it every Wednesday. I don't know about my fans, but I, you know, even preparing whatever I'm going to help to talk about. I mean, I have gained a wealth of information about my country, my culture, since I am doing this show. It's just been just really enlightening for me.
Yes.
And since our vision is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love,
I am
really just very humbled by the, you know, the welcome I'm getting from the people as I share it with.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I believe that in due course, you're going to have the line so jammed up because there are a lot of people, if they knew about this program, they would be on it every Wednesday. I believe that. And like I said, I researched your website and it was quite a lot of in-depth information about Jamaica, etc. And so I think that the potential for the program is very high.
Thank you so much.
For its growth, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. And I really appreciate all the people who are helping me to grow it because, as I mentioned before, you know, as we think about, you know, all over the world, there were bad things happening to good people and there were atrocities and, you know, but we can learn so much from the people who, some people who had a heart, some people who gave beyond what they had to give.
Yeah.
In all different colors and all different cultures, there are stories like that all over.
You
know, and that's what we need to fuel the passion for when we want to do something that is good.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of Jamaicans have moved on to, let's put it this way, Jamaica is represented in just about every profession and activity all over the world. There's hardly a place. As a matter of fact, my understanding is that the Jamaican population outside of Jamaica is maybe two or three times the population in Jamaica.
That's
and they are actually occupied in very productive pursuits, you know.
Wherever
they go, they shine as really top performing people.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes.
So with that said, I look forward to having you again as our official guest when we will talk about lots of interesting things.
Yes.
And Millie, are you there? Well, your mic is open if you want to chime in. But her hand is still up. This technology is so cool. I can see the mic and I open it up and I'm just having a lot of fun while I learn.
Yeah.
But our guest should have been Mr. Desmond Green from Connecticut. He lives in Connecticut and he graduated MICO and he had consented, but something must have come up.
Yeah,
so Carl,
I'm sure.
Millie, I really appreciate you filling in for me, and it's ironic that you both had an experience and could talk about MICO, because I didn't even realize until I read in the documentation here that it was originally just an elementary school and then evolved to what it is now, which, as I mentioned, is a full-fledged university and has produced a lot of famous people.
Oh,
and even the not-so-famous, they've gone on to do great things in their lives and the lives of other people.
So it was a pleasure. I bid you good night.
Yes,
and
good night.
And I look forward to meeting
you
soon, okay?
All right.
And continued success with the program.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good.
I see a hand raised on 954. I'm going to open up the mic to you, 954-274. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
Hello, Margaret. My name is Carl.
Another Carl?
Yes, yes. I went to a school called Makeup Practicing School. I heard you gave us some information, which is not very accurate. So Michael was just elementary school. That is not accurate information.
I mean, originally when it started, not just.
That's not accurate information at all. Michael started as a training college for teachers. And in order to facilitate the training that the teachers are getting, they founded the Michael Practicing School, which was really founded to give the teachers practice in learning to teach.
Makes sense.
That's how it was.
Uh-huh.
The students from Michael College would come because they were on the same compound, came with the practicing school to learn how to teach.
Right,
That's more accurate information. And then eventually, of course, in recent years, Mac was college, which was evolved into a university, I understand.
Yes, it has. University. Teachers. Still four teachers.
That's authentic information, trust me.
Yes. Yes, because I got it actually from the... from the school's website.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but they are now a full-fledged university.
Yes.
And they are the oldest teaching institution in the Western Hemisphere.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they really have a lot to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to celebrate. And as I mentioned before, I'm sure that most of the... Not all, but most of the students who came, you know, this was established from 1846, so they've been teaching teachers for a very long time.
So you
could always say that, you know, in our lifetime, most everybody that grew up in Jamaica and were taught the teachers came out of Michael or Shortwood.
Michael was for the men. In the early days, it was just for men. I think women went there afterward, but originally it was only for men.
Yes. They made it co-ed. It's in the documentations here. Yeah. And where are you calling from, Carl? What city?
Where am I calling from? I'm from the city of Plantation in Florida.
Oh, okay. All right. If you're calling from Florida, we always like to know how spread out we are. So thank you so much for calling. Are you on my list? You get a promo for me?
I don't know.
Are you on my mailing list?
No, not yet, no.
Not yet. Okay. Well, please take a visit to the website. And as the other Carl said, I am blessed with two Carls tonight, that, you know, there are lots of shows in the archives that I've done. And just scan through them. You might find one that's interesting.
You know, that's
I really appreciate
you. Harry Belafonte actually went to Michael.
Beg your pardon?
Harry Belafonte attended the Michael Practicing School.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he did. He did, yes.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for filling in the information for me. And we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. I hope you'll come back and visit with us.
All right, sure will.
And visit our website. So, Carl, are you there? Carl from New York, are you still there? No, he must have rung out. But we have two Carls that attended Michael. So that is, our guest speaker didn't make it on for some reason. So I really appreciate you coming in and giving us some additional information. So it's nice meeting you.
You're welcome.
And I hope you'll come back next week when we'll be having someone talk about their school days. All right? And perhaps you'll come and share more with me about yours. So think about it. Okay?
All right.
A great week, and hopefully I'll hear you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Margaret signing out. Bye-bye.